Okay, so I'm ready. So, first day of the week, we have Sunday. And what happened on Sunday was what Jordan preached on last week. We have Palm Sunday. I guess like wave or like cheer if you got it right. Let's do that. Great, because then we know. Okay, so the next day, Monday. On that day, we had Jesus curses the fig tree and Jesus clears the temple. Anyone get those? Got a few. Great, good job. Tuesday, what happened on Tuesday? So we had Jesus teaches in the temple. He comes back the next day. And we had the priests and teachers of religious law plot to kill Jesus. They don't like some of what he's teaching about, so they decide, we don't like this guy, we're going to get rid of him. So that was Tuesday. Wednesday, we had one thing that happened, and it was that Jesus was anointed with perfume. This is from the book of Mark, by the way, and some of it is a bit like unsure which day it happened, but this is what we're going with. So Thursday was the Passover meal. Who got that? Yeah, it's a good one. And then Jesus goes to the garden to pray with his disciples. So I've put those two as the only two that happened on Thursday, but you might have also had that Jesus was betrayed by Judas. It's hard to tell what point of the day that happens. But that's Friday. Friday, Jesus is betrayed by Judas and arrested. The next bit is Jesus has his trial before the high priest. And then Peter denies Jesus. I quite like this picture. This one I found funny because it's like he's scared of the cockerel, but he's not. He's just ashamed of what he's done. The next one is Jesus has a trial before Pontius Pilate. The next is the soldiers mock Jesus. And then we have the cross, and Jesus goes to the cross and dies. And then the next bit was the curtain is torn in two as Jesus takes his last breath. The curtain is torn, meaning that we have access to God and relationship with him. And then the Roman soldier at the cross says, truly this man was the Son of God. Then we have Jesus is laid in the tomb. So a lot happens on Friday. Like a lot happens, a lot of different things. And then we get to Saturday and Jesus' body lies in the tomb. And then Sunday comes and we have the final thing that we're going to be talking about today, the resurrection. So that's the timeline. There is a lot of things that happened. But yeah, it's good to know in what order things happened and what happened. But over to Emma, and we're going to talk about the resurrection.
Wow. So you guys have been really good at like remembering the story, and we've got the King's Kids helped us, didn't they? King's Kids, that was such a great video. So you guys are a bit of experts now, aren't you? Because you got to tell the story of what happened. And we've got this idea of the timeline, so we know what happened. But I want to read you some scripture about what happened. Okay, so I'm going to read. Normally we would do a Bible study, and we would have two different versions of the same text, right? We're all familiar with the Bible studies that we do. But today I want to read you a different version of the same story from Matthew, from Luke, and from John. And I want you to listen and see what you notice, okay? See what jumps out to you. So Matthew 28 says, early on Sunday morning, as the new day was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to visit the tomb. Suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face shone like lightning and his clothing was as white as snow. And the guards shook with fear when they saw him, and they fell into a dead faint. Then the angel spoke to the woman. Don't be afraid, he said. I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here. He is risen from the dead, just as he said would happen. Come, see where his body was lying. And now go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and he is going to ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Remember what I have told you. The women ran quickly from the tomb. They were very frightened, but also filled with great joy, and they rushed to give the disciples the angel's message. And as they went, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they ran to him, grasped his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go tell my brothers to leave for Galilee. They will see me there." What I love about that is that it's like a, you know, when we all see the same thing and we give a different recount of, you know, some details are going to stand out to me, and Lizzie might watch something, and some details might stand out to Lizzie, and Claire might watch something, and some details might stand out to Claire, and Piers will see other details, and Convoyer will see other details, and do you know what I mean? But here we've got a set of details that's being recounted about what happened. Let's see what Luke says. Luke 24. Early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb, taking the spices they prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. So they went in. Can you imagine that? You're carrying all these spices, you're carrying stuff, you're in grief, and you're going to visit, and you're going to do something that's quite difficult to do. And you're probably a bit worried about, like, how are we going to roll the stone away? And then it's there. And we can just read that and go, and just read past it. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. It's amazing. So they went in. But they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. As they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. The women were terrified and bowed with their faces to the ground. Then the men asked, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? He isn't here. He's risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on the third day." Then they remembered what he had said, that he had said this. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to them, so they didn't believe it. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. Wondering what had happened. And then we in John, we've got another perspective, another person who's seen, like, just recounting what's happened. Early on Sunday morning, what do you notice about that? I feel like Lizzie's timeline is really accurate. Early on Sunday morning. Yeah, can you see the similarity? Early on Sunday morning, there was a tomb, the stone had been rolled away, there were angels. Early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciples, the one whom Jesus loved. And she said, "They've taken the Lord's body out of the tomb and we don't know where they've put him." Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He stooped and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter arrived and went inside. He also noticed the linen wrappings lying there, while the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed, for until then they still hadn't understood the scripture that said Jesus must rise from the dead. And then they went home. Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. We had a great image of that in the King's Kid video, didn't we? Mary was outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she stooped and looked in. And she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they've taken away my Lord," she replied, "and I don't know where they've put him." She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" Jesus asked her. "Who are you looking for?" She thought he was the gardener. "Sir," she said, "if you've taken him away, tell me where you've put him and I'll go and get him." "Mary," Jesus said. And she turned to him and cried out, "Rabboni," which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And Mary found the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. And then she gave them his message. What stood out to you in reading this scripture? What stood out to you? Does anything stand out to anyone? Just one or two people. Is anything that stood out to you? Yeah.
And so Jesus in death is presenting himself as the ark and on the mercy seat.
Brilliant. So we've got this, we haven't got time to go into that now, but Piers is exactly right. The symbolism, the way that the angels are at the head and the foot, it's linking back to that ark. It's about Jesus is fulfilling. He's fulfilling all the words that we're saying that he will come, he's fulfilling those things. What does it tell you about God? For me, it tells me that God's at work. The presence of angels, like what Piers was saying, the presence of angels, God's doing, there's something going on here. The stone rolled away, there's something happening here. What does it tell you about man? Anyone? Anything jump out at you?
They doubted
because their hearts were full of love for Jesus. They were distraught by his death. Daniel. Okay, so that Daniel's making the point that there were like women in the story were the ones who Jesus who Jesus revealed himself to, and they were the ones who met him first. Okay, yeah. But I want to go back to the grief that they were in. I want to go back to the reality of what they were feeling, and it's reminding me about what Jordan was feeling earlier when he had the present, and he was disappointed that there wasn't anything in it. And although he was acting and he was helping us out, there are times when we can have real disappointment in our lives. We can have, like, when things aren't going as we expect, or when, you know, for the disciples, for the people around Jesus, although he told them what was going to happen, they didn't understand. They didn't fully understand. And so for them, they were going through real difficulty, real emotions and real feelings of emptiness. And there's so many things that we can pull out of these scriptures, so many things, so many incredible moments. But what stands out to me today, what's been standing out to me, is this idea of empty. And the word empty means so many things. And we've been thinking about it this morning. We've had all these pictures of what is empty. Yeah? And we've had pictures of what is full. And there are ways that we understand and we can encounter this idea of empty. And when we do, it can make us ask questions. So young people, children and young people, think about the emptiness of your toy boxes if your toys are all over the floor. Or the emptiness of your wardrobe if all your clothes are like all over your floor. Is it just my kids who do that? No? Okay. So the question that you might be asking when you see those things is, when your room is a mess, is how am I going to put them all away? How am I going to do this? How am I going to manage this? How am I going to tidy my room before my parents see? Or we might have a concern over an empty fuel tank. We had a picture of an empty fuel tank, didn't we? We might be asking the question, how can I get to my destination if I can't get to a petrol station in time? The confusion of an empty nest. Anyone who's had children who have left home, it's a bit of a confusing time. What do I do now? Who do I cook for now? Like, how do I, what's this about? Or the urgency of empty cupboards. I've run out of food. How do I fill my cupboards now? Or the doubt of an empty road. You're driving down a road and there's no one else. Like, is there something I should know? Am I going in the right direction? When we meet emptiness, it can bring questions. And our experience of empty can make us attach deeper meanings to the word. So we might feel sadness or disappointment or heartache or stress, like something's missing. And the emptiness of the tomb must have taken their breath away. Can you imagine the questions? The women approach the tomb. What's happened? Why is the stone rolled away? Where is he? Who's taken him? What's going on? The tomb's empty. It's empty. What's happening? All the questions. And what stands out in that is how the angels say, "Why are you looking among the dead for someone who's alive?" Or in another version, "He isn't here. He's risen from the dead." Or in another version, "He isn't here. He's risen from the dead again." The gospel accounts are clear. The stone was rolled away and he is not there. And that's where the meaning of empty is transformed in Jesus. Because the empty tomb means the fullness of God. The empty tomb doesn't think what they mean it means. The empty tomb doesn't mean what they think it means. In their grief and their confusion, they thought something was missing, something had been stolen. They thought that everything to do with Jesus was over, but it was just beginning. The empty tomb means that death had been defeated. The empty tomb means that the battle has been won. The empty tomb means that sin had been paid for. The cross means that sin had been paid for, that it's finished, and a way had been made back to the Father through Jesus. But now the wonder and the power of God was right in front of them in a way that was breathtaking, because the empty tomb meant that how empty the tomb is, let me start again. How empty the emptiness of the tomb directly points to how full the fullness of Jesus is. Does that make sense to you? The tomb was empty. Jesus is there, alive, in his fullness. That means fullness of freedom from sin when we give our lives to him, because he paid for sin on the cross. It means fullness of life as we walk with him because we're made alive in him. It means fullness of joy as we find our joy in the delight of his love. It means fullness of grace and mercy and perfect love as we learn to do life with him. The fullness of God is why the tomb was empty. There was a song that was played in the background of the King's Kids video. The fullness of God won't be kept in the grave. Darkness, your power is over. That's the empty tomb. That's the empty tomb. Jesus died. He spilled his blood. It was poured out for us. And we have eggs at this time of year. This egg is empty because he's alive, because it means we have new life. That's why we have eggs, because it means new life. And it has to be that the tomb was empty for us to be able to have new life. And it's eternal life. So Jordan, don't be disappointed in an empty egg, because the grave was empty, and I'll give you some chocolate later. So, we are going to move on, and we've got a bit of a craft. We're going to end with a craft. We're going to do this craft, and it's about having a moment of reflection about this idea of the empty tomb. So on your tables, you've got a piece of card which has got the tomb printed on it already, and in an envelope, you've got some circles. You've got a grey circle, a white circle, and there's a split pin. And in the envelopes, there's also a safety pin, because you might need that. What we're going to do, if you just wait a second, I'm going to give you the instructions, and then I'll get you to find everything, if that's all right. Can I just give you the instructions first? Okay. We used to do this in primary school. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me. Excellent. So, we've got the card, What we need to do is, first of all, we need to line up the two circles over the top of the entrance to the tomb, and we need to make a hole with the safety pin, and then put the split pin through. Do that first, then roll your stone away. Sorry, I'm going to do that again. Roll your stone away, and at that point you can draw Jesus on the white circle. Okay, so we're going to draw that Jesus was in the tomb on the white circle. If you need an example of some excellent art, you can come and look at mine. It is a stick man, but we're going for imagery here. Right. Then you get to put the stone over, okay, and then you get to roll the stone away. Ah, and the tomb is empty. Okay, so we're going to make that first, but what I want you to think about while you're doing it is there anywhere... Well, what I want you to do, actually, is I want you to ask God. And I want us to ask him, Lord, is there a place in me that's empty that you need to fill? Is there a place in me that's empty that you need to fill? Because the emptiness of the tomb means the fullness of God. All right? So as you're doing that, I want you to be thinking about that. And then on the back, we might write some prayers. Okay, so we're going to put some music on in the background. And we've got a few minutes to do that. I'm just going to... And then we'll pray at the end. Yeah.